I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Finals Week 1, all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Actually, I do, and it's one I'm really quite excited about. A couple of years back, F1 driver by the name of Robert Kubica got in a massive accident when he was rallying in his off time because, you know, being an F1 driver isn't dangerous enough. You need to add rallying through fucking forests to it. Massive accident. Lost a lot of use of his left hand. They thought he may not even live, or let alone drive again. Just this last week, he was a Renault contracted driver, driving for Renault in the Formula One and also in Rally, and he asked for a release of the contract because he's going to go for the Williams Formula One seat. So to come back from where he was, which was, you know, may not survive, to permanent nerve damage, may not be able to even operate a bus, to potentially getting back into Formula One, it's amazing. And he was a talent that everyone thought could be a world champion. And it's still a long way off. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes. But it's just an amazing story. And that's a massive highlight for me, someone coming back from so far back.
It sounds like he was faking to me.
And I mean, he's Polish, so they could use some good news. I mean, they're always getting shit on everywhere on the internet.
Brenton, you got a hot. We'll start with a beer.
So we're going to New South Wales for the beer of the week this week. Modus Operandi, who are obviously New South Wales brewer, they've brought out a limited release sort of range of IPAs. So I'm going with their New England IPA. It's called Gadzooks. That's why I had to bring the can down. So I could it's spelled GADZOOKS! Exclamation mark.
Of course it is.
So it's a very sort of light-bodied New England IPA. So nice, big, hazy, limited release. So if you can get your hands on one of them, it's probably, yeah, very actually enjoyable. Probably my second favourite New England IPA that's come out for the last...
I think that was one of Scrooge McDuck's catchphrases. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks? Man, I don't know.
It's got to be some of those old Hanna-Barbera cartoons or something.
Some of that. Yeah, yeah. But the funny thing was, in the bottle shop that I work at, the Modus Operandi website actually put us as stock in it before they actually sent it to us.
Oh, nice.
So we had people coming in all week asking about it, and so that's how I actually got onto these ones.
Besides the term alcoholics, do they have a group, collective name for people that are beer enthusiasts?
Beer wankers. Yep.
Beer wankers,
beer
okay.
Wankers, like
booze hound.
Completely know like that I'm an absolute wanker when it comes to beer, and I accept that. So, yeah, but this one's tasty as fuck, so... It's all right being a wanker if, you know, you get some positives out of it.
Do you have a moustache tax? Like, if people come in and start talking about IPAs and everything, but they've got that Salvador Dali thing going on, do you add, like, 10%?
Well, I mean, they're easy to fuck with because you just feed them bullshit and they eat it up and tell their friends. So, actually, we tried to get the term, because obviously hops in beer is a big thing, you know, for the last few years.
Like an ingredient, yes.
West Coast American style of beers are huge hoppy beers. For some reason, we just started... I don't know, pretty much we're just fucking around behind the bar. We decided we'd start referring to it as hopsy. So we tried to get everyone saying hopsy. And so then you get like B-Ways coming, yeah, I want something that's kind of hopsy. You're like, okay, you're a wanker. So yeah, that's what
you listen to us.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you get. Yeah, my highlight of the week, well, it's more of a low light. Going back to the UFC, pretty much our highlights roll around football, AFL, yep. UFC, F1.
It's very hard for you to find another highlight after Richmond, but that's okay.
It is, well, I feel like we've got plenty of time to talk about that one. So I'm going on the low light. Been waiting for Demetrius Johnson to break the Anderson Silva's record. Fucking hell. Ray Borg, nah, pulling out this fight because I'm sick.
Yeah, well, give him his due. The doctors pulled him out.
Oh, that's true.
Fair enough, but
that's
still. True. I know I got up, what was it, Saturday morning,
yep.
After he'd been pulled, and I messaged you guys and said he's been fucking robbed.
Yeah, exactly.
And after all the shit that's gone on, that Demetrius just he goes, I just want to fight my division and get the record. You know, GSP's been doing videos and saying, you know, congrats, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he's already going to win, because everyone knows he's going to win.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then
he was paying $1.04, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't
something
matter.
Like that, yeah.
And then to not have to fight.
Well, especially since Dana was pissed off about him wanting to fight Ray Borg, because Demetrius complains about not ever sort of getting respect for the incredible martial arts artist that he is, but for some reason doesn't sell pay-per-views. And so they wanted to team up against TJ Dillashaw, who was coming down from bantamweight. Bantamweight.
Mm.
And he turned it down, saying he wasn't sure if TJ can make weight. So, you know, and that would have been a huge fight. It would have been a much bigger selling fight than Ray Borg. So Dana's like, all right, well, you can have Ray Borg then, whoever the fuck that guy is. And so he pulls out. And so he left with the headline, which is Juliana Pena versus, no, not Pena.
Shevchenko versus Nunes.
Yeah, Amanda Nunes versus Valentina Shevchenko. And Nunes pulled out of her last fight with Shevchenko. And so Dana said that she would never headline a pay-per-view again.
And
he's also said that Demetri Johnson can't sell pay-per-views. So he had him headlining, giving him a second chance.
Yep.
Nope, the fight gets fucked.
Yep.
Then Valentina and Amanda Nunes end up headlining. Shit fight.
Yeah.
Like, about what you expect. But there was maybe one punch landed in anger for that entire fight. Yeah, really crap. So that's my lowlights of the week.
Unlucky for Amanda Nunes, because all her other fights have been great. Yeah. Especially leading up to this one.
But there were two fights on the card that were absolute crackers. The only ones worth watching. That was Jeremy Stephens versus Gilbert Melendez.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Stephens just chopped him down. Like, fucked up his leg.
Mind you, Melendez, he puts on good fights.
Yeah,
which does. Is why you get Nunes, great fighter. Shevchenko, when she does her counter-punching style, it's not attractive to watch. Like watching Lyoto Machida, or even GSP.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to GSP versus Bisping.
Well, I think Bisping will force it into a stand-up fight, so I think that will be a bit better than this one, but it's not going to be better than, you know, Bisping versus Rockhold or something like that, which would be a legitimate middleweight fight.
I think Rockhold fights this weekend, actually, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got some no-name dude. Yeah, well, he turned down Jacare a couple of times, so I think he's like, this guy's the only one that will step up to the plate. It's like, well, that's not entirely true.
When's Bobby Knuckles fighting again?
He's injured now, so he won't be fighting until next year.
That's right.
So they're going to let Bisping and GSP do interim middleweight. Middleweight.
Legit, yeah.
And while he's at the interim, then they'll, unify it.
Speaking of which, Tony Ferguson's next fight got announced as well, who he's fighting just
Kevin Lee?
Could be, I can't remember. But what was funny was Tony Ferguson is the interim champion.
Yeah.
Ranked number 3.
Yep, and also...
What?
The champion gets signed to fight, not the interim champion.
Yeah.
He's fighting Khabib in Russia. So Conor's the champion of that division.
That's not official yet, though, is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. No. I haven't seen UFC announce it. I've seen Khabib announce it.
Yeah, I think we've seen Khabib try and push it, but it hasn't been announced.
Yeah. So that's kind of fucked up if, you've got an interim champ and the champ, and neither of them, they don't fight each other.
Yeah. Well, what do the belts mean anyway? UFC's clearly told us they mean nothing.
Fuck
and
all.
They're trying to add more. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Intercontinental Championship?
Yeah, why not? It's got more
tag team. I want to see a tag team champ.
Well, go to Japan. Yeah, I guarantee it's there somewhere.
Oh, Russia, yeah.
Russia, yeah.
Well, they had a 4-man gang battle or whatever in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do them in England too, actually. It's called Friday Night.
At the pub. Yeah. All right, well, we'll go to Thursday night. Last Thursday night, we had the Crows all over the Giants. 6-goal margin in the end, but really, this game was done by halftime.
Yeah. I mean, they made GWS look like an amateur squad.
They did.
It was incredible how cleanish Adelaide were in possession and how sort of just completely rubbish GWS were when they had the first use of the ball. They couldn't pick it up one go. I mean, it was raining at some point in the night. So, but I mean, if Adelaide could do it, then there's no reason why GWS couldn't do it, especially with the school they had on the park.
But numbers at the pack. So
yeah.
Like every time GWS went forward, it looked like there were 2-1 with the Crows. So they might have been, you know, playing a man behind or whatever, but when it came time to run forward, goddamn, they ran.
Yeah, and they dismantled GWS's midfield. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Shields maybe played a quarter and a half. The rest of it, he just was just nowhere.
Yeah.
I think Callum Ward did enough. I think he was one of the standouts. But apart from that, there weren't many consistent sort of ball winners in the GWS squad. And they just made it to look like they were the reserves team.
I think it was only Kelly and Caniglia who could hold their head up.
Yeah, and I mean, Kelly going for a new home, so he's put his resume forward to Adelaide, I'm guessing.
To everywhere, by the sounds of it.
Could be a straight swap for whatever.
Everywhere will pay for him.
Yeah, they will now, since the all the big money players are off the table.
Yeah.
That is one thing, just aside from this, hate it that there's so much trade talk while the finals are on. It's like, dude, we know, do your delistings. You're not going to sign anybody. It's a waste of fucking time. Just, and I know, you know, the paper's got to fill column inches and whatnot. Go with the finals. There's a story everywhere you look. You
know, there's been plenty of things that could have been talking points that went unnoticed during these finals.
Exactly.
Round of finals, and they concentrate on, that was sort of rubbish.
Anyway.
So, yeah, I thought that GWS, they really didn't sort of adjust at all to the pressure that was, or the failing game plan that they were implementing. Like, why they kept Toby Green up forward when they couldn't even get the ball forward was astonishing to me. I thought you could have played him on a wing and made him a ball winner instead of having him on the end of the ball, which wasn't ever coming.
Maybe they wanted to have him next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Put him in the midfield, he might fly kick some fucker.
Yeah, but that's the risk you take when you get a Toby Green, I guess.
Well, I mean, they've lost Mumford now. He's gone. They've lost Cameron. He's gone. And Smith.
Someone else,
Devin Smith.
Yep.
So there's a fair old chunk out of GWS. But
It guts them. Like, Mumford is what their game revolves around.
A lot of the time it has. Although he did look very slow.
He's always looked pretty slow.
Yeah, but even mind you, more so.
He, as a big a tank he is, Jacobs, he's not shading Jacobs by much.
No, not at all.
Yep.
I think this is the last year that they'd have dominance out of Mumford. From next year on, he's going to be serviceable.
I think he's back at Ruckman next year.
Yeah, perhaps. And Lobb needs to...
He did fuck all.
Did he take some nice grabs? I'm trying to remember.
Four marks to his name. So. Yeah.
There's some all right ones, but I don't think he converted all that well.
No.
And that's it. Like, this wasn't a big man's game with sort of slick greasy conditions. Yeah. It was never going to be a big man's game. And, I mean, no Sloan, so you would have thought that the Crows, GWS would have had a better crack in the middle, but they just didn't. They just weren't there.
I wonder if that disrupted their game plan. Like, not having Sloan meant they're like, all right, what the fuck do we do now? Do we tag which Crouch or do we what? Do we not tag anyone?
I wouldn't have thought so, because, I mean, it just means, all right, we don't tag. And they're not a great tagging side anyway, because...
Yeah, that's true.
Their midfielders are just guns.
But
you know, things like Scully, we all know, is a running machine. He just looked like every time he tried to run, there was somebody standing in front of him. And he just couldn't get the run at it that he needed.
But that's finals football.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and none of these guys was their first time round at finals either. So there should be no stage fright or anything like that. They didn't get up there.
Crows just always managed to find free space.
They were controlled all night as well.
And
like I said, the gas came off in the second half, but this game was done and dusted at halftime.
Because Adelaide aren't playing to win a final, they're playing to win a flag.
Yeah, precisely. Or losing preliminary finals is their tradition.
It's a tradition that's been going around for a few teams, so I don't know who can claim the better tradition there.
Of choking in prelims.
Yeah,
I think Crows have got it sorted though. Who else?
Geelong.
They've won a few finals here and there.
Yeah, it's hard to go back and think about who's been the consistent. I mean, no one's going to name is Western Bulldogs, but that was from like the 90s.
Yeah. All right, on to Friday night.
Speaking of choking finals.
51 points by the Tigers. Now, you could say that they put on some junk time goals, kicking, you know, 8 in the last quarter or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But really, they were dominant from the get-go, just didn't have it on the scoreboard.
All night, Geelong had no time. They couldn't put their head up and look for an option. They were getting shut down before they could have an option, which was brilliant pressure by Richmond. And that, again, that's final footy.
It was the Geelong back line really stood up well, because they had to, because they were under pressure all night.
Yep, and that's what was concerning about the game, was that, well, I mean, rely on a very sort of dominant forward at half pressure game, and that's what our key is. And we generally can't keep that up for four quarters. Like, generally this year, it's been 2, maybe 3 quarters that we do it. So if we don't put our neck and whole body ahead, by a three-quarter time, we get run down. And, I mean, for me, I think the biggest thing to take out of this was we haven't really put our foot on the throat of our opposition this year at all.
Except for the Fremantle game.
And exactly. And this is the second time we've done it. And I think that just shows that we've built up our consistency to be able to win away from home. Because, I feel like... it was against Frio. We lost. We won away from home.
Sorry, this is a win away from home as well.
Of course it is. It was, we were playing away.
Fair enough.
Just to fucking rub it in.
So, yeah, I feel like, yeah, it's a really feather in the Tigers' cap that they've been such a dominant force away from home this year. Yeah, but let's be honest, Geelong got fucked on that deal. That was ridiculous.
But it's the right deal, though.
Yeah, yeah. But in a game that's so close, the crowd would have made a difference playing at Skills Stadium when it was such a hard-fought contest, and just Tigers' ability to play MCG.
Not just the crowd, just the fact that there's no pockets there as well.
Yeah.
It's a narrow ground.
Yep.
But I don't like that excuse. We had to play at the MCG instead.
Yeah.
The grand final's the MCG for starters.
Yep.
And plus, what happened to the good old, you know, anywhere, anytime?
Yeah. And I mean, they've played some home games at Etihad too. I feel like they are the vagabonds of the AFL at the moment. They just wander around and pull up stumps wherever they feel like home is.
Yeah, they got three home grounds. Yes.
So yeah, I felt like this was, obviously the scoreline doesn't really justify how close the match was. And like Scott said in his post-match interview or press conference, was that there's no percentage, it doesn't matter. So they just tried to mix things up in the last quarter and that just made things worse. You could see it happening. But obviously Dusty in that end of the third, start of the fourth was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Well, we were watching it too. I feel like in the first half, every handball was like 20 centimetres out of reach of the Tigers, and that was holding them back.
Yeah.
And then in the third quarter and the fourth, there was that one, God, who was he following? Stewart, where Stewart actually beat Dusty to the ball, and then the ball's bounced sideways, backwards, into his hands, and gone, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What do you do? When the ball's bouncing like that for you, you're set. So their luck turned. It's your day. Yeah.
Then he runs to Stewart to give him a fuck off, and then exactly. He keeps on going.
No wonder he set the record for broken tackles. He goes and finds the tackle first. He's like the Dennis Rodman with rebounds.
Yeah.
It's like the Nelson Muntz from when Homer Simpson has that. Grid 19. Just kid and runs into him. Yeah. Dusty, how good was he? Like if you could get Brownlow votes in the final, he'd top it up.
There's the Gary Ayres medal now, which
no one gives a shit about.
Best player in the finals. I think this is only the second year of it or the third year of it.
Yeah, should be renamed the Jared Waite medal.
Yeah, as good as Dusty was, I thought Trent Cotchin was really what got him going.
Yeah, so did I. And I think
the best game I've ever seen.
Yeah, him. And I think Floston was another one who really stood up, especially in the back line there. Rance and Grimes always had their hands full with sort of a changing Geelong forward line.
Yep.
But I feel like Floston was the one that was always stable and setting up attacking kicks out of our back line.
Kicked the goal too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Cotchin only got one junk time goal.
Jesus Christ. Unlucky it wasn't during the season.
Yeah.
It'd be a contender for goal of the year. That was brilliant.
Have to.
It was pretty damn good.
It was unbelievably good. But he was putting his body on the line all night.
Yeah,
Which is unusual for him in recent times.
Yeah. I mean, usually he'll have one or two efforts a game.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that, you know. But like I said, best game I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, front opening bounce too. They set the momentum in their favour and the way they're going to play that attacking hard football, never giving them a chance to set up their run. And if you give Geelong time to think, they're very good at thinking their way through a game. Yeah. So you just have to you can't really do that. So I was amazed the Tigers managed to do that for four quarters, which is, I think, the first time we've done it this season. And yeah, hitting our straps going into the finals, tough to keep a lid on it.
Well, it was just the sheer desperation, the hunger that we haven't seen from Richmond, well, since probably the 80s.
Yeah.
Fantastic to watch.
Yeah, and one thing is that also Rioli, he gets a lot of flack for not doing enough, but what he does in sort of creating that forward line pressure that don't get stats was actually instrumental to us having that successful game plan. And so I feel like he's a bit unfairly done by with his criticisms, because it's what he's doing when he doesn't have the ball that's almost more important.
On the other end of the scale, you got Motlop.
Oh.
So he was our third best player. Exactly.
I had him in Richmond's best. Yep. It was hilarious because we were watching it, obviously, with the old man who's a Tiger supporter as well. And they're like, damn it, Richmond got the ball. Like, don't worry about it, it's Motlop.
Yeah.
I reckon he had three possessions on the night that weren't turnovers.
Yeah, it'd probably go close, yeah.
And that was about it. It was the shocking game.
And he was trying real hard too. That's the thing. He was getting key possessions and then just turning it over.
I can't think of a worse performance in finals. Like, it was one of those ones where he became the absolute liability. You know what? We're better off just not kicking it to him.
Yeah, they tried to put the red Guernsey on him.
Yeah.
Sub him out.
If only you could. I reckon
they gave it a go.
Nick one off the pie seller and just thought, we'll try this. See if this works for him.
Put the amber on him. You know how some fans have that belief that they can somehow psychically influence the game, like by their rituals?
Yes.
You know where I'm going with this one. So when they're shooting for goal, we hear them go, miss, 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 and I think, oh, I put him off.
Yes.
A new ritual was started on this game, and I'm kind of concerned it might catch on. talking about the old man deciding to get into the 1980s football Guernsey, the Richmond Finals Guernsey. It was not a pretty fucking sight.
No.
Number four as well, I think. So yeah. He's trying to emulate the Dusty.
But yeah, I have it on good authority that he thinks that had an effect on the game, and he's planning on doing it for the whole final series.
Right.
So we might pop that up on the website just so everyone can, I guess, commiserate. Or maybe they've got their own Guernseys they'll try and wear on the weekend to get their results up too.
Okay, was not where I thought you were going. I thought you were going with the Tigers, let's call him supporter, the football first.
Oh my God.
If you saw that,
yeah.
The lad that led that. He's overseas somewhere now, and Tigers got up, obviously, and somebody went to him for a comment, and he said, yeah, I think that we contributed.
Yeah,
to this.
This is because of the football first.
Yeah, yep. You know, we helped Richmond move into this direction. I'm like, the only way you contributed, mate, was by fucking off.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's like Pauline Hanson claiming she's contributed to immigration policies.
Yeah. Positively.
Yeah.
How about the bloke who put his shoulder out?
Yeah.
Celebrating the goal.
There's been a lot about Richmond fans the week. Just about as many stories about the Richmond fans as it's been about the Richmond players.
Probably much.
More, I'd say. But fair play, the hype train is in full express mode, and it's either going to go, well, you'd have to say they're going to be, they've got the easy run to the grand final.
They've got the easier side of the draw.
We do.
So it's either going to be a straight train to the premiership or a massive derailment at some stage.
I think they're going to Bradbury the fuck out of it. You look at the injuries that are coming to all the other teams, and we're fighting fit.
Not to the two that count, though.
That's true.
But what else I love about this weekend, and Thursday and Friday night, as is tradition, the team that loses the qualifying finals, put a line through them, they're useless. They're hopeless. Everyone writes them off. And 9 times out of 10, they come back the next week and give somebody a hide. But it's happened this week as well. And injuries have helped. GWS a couple, and I think there was a couple to the Cats in this game as well.
The good thing with the Tigers is that they're through to the finals for VFL as well, so you keep your B team in good spirits.
In top nick.
And also Jacob Townsend winning their best and fairest as well.
JJ Liston Trophy, the first Richmond player to win it.
Really?
Well, because obviously Richmond didn't have a side for most of the VFL since it's come back as the VFL.
Yeah.
But yeah, you won it fairly comfortably too, by the looks.
Yeah, and kicked another 2 goals on the weekend in the ace. So what's that, 6 and 5? Is that like, I've got like 13 in 3 weeks or something stupid?
I've got a feeling he's had 25 kicks for 13 goals. Something like that.
Yeah. After coming across from GWS and not being able to fit in the midfield, he's found himself a little home in forward line. So it took some good marks at key moments as well, like contested marks, which is a big difference in this game, was contested marks in important areas and giving scoring shots. It's made a huge difference.
How do you reckon Geelong will bounce back? Menzel. Why didn't they play Menzel?
Yeah, good question.
Don't know the answer to that. But yeah. I was pretty stoked when I heard he was sitting out. And
absolutely.
Zach Guthrie's coming in.
Yeah.
I know. Zach Guthrie's not a terrible player, I guess, but Menzel's had a damn good season. And I was thinking, how do they come back from this? Bring Menzel in. That's straight up.
They're going to have to, because Cam Guthrie looks like he's done.
I think he's done, yeah.
And there was another injury as well, which escapes me right now. But they're probably going to bring in Menzel and, you know, someone like Wiley Buzzer for their match next week. The big game against the Swans, obviously.
Yep, and Swans don't have any injuries, do they? They were... Quite a clean bill of health.
We'll go on to the Swans then. They put, 70 points, 60-odd points again on...
a lot of points.
Never looked like... It could have been 1,000.
Yeah.
They had it in hand. They knew what was going on. The funny thing was, in the first... I think it was the first minute, and Danaher,
Massive Danaher mark. Yeah.
Looked fantastic. He and Ben Brown have that similar style where they can grab the ball fully extended.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to spoil. And I thought, they might...
They're fucking on here.
Might be a bit of a surprise coming.
Nah.
Sydney just said, all right, lads.
10 goals in the second quarter.
No fucking about. Here we go.
Very much like Adelaide GWS. It wasn't that Essendon were playing badly, and they weren't playing great, but Sydney were just all over them. Every time they...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ball went forward. They had three blokes at the fall of the ball. Buddy was just too much of a handful for the young back line that he was on. I think they switched Hurley onto him far too late.
Yeah.
And he kicked three goals in a couple of minutes and just went, oh, nah, game's gone.
The problem is their midfield's that good. Like, if you had Heaney, Parker, Hanbury or Kennedy in any team, that's who you tag. Yeah.
And Parker was dominating Heppel.
Yeah.
Every time he went near the ball, he didn't have a chance.
I mean, the Swans just kicking accurately as well makes a huge difference because the pressure comes on early and it just compounds after that. So when you're on, you know, it creates that, you know, unseen pressure. So you know you're getting behind, it's going to be a final and you've got to do everything it takes, and that's when you start going open game plan.
Oh, they don't do whatever it takes anymore.
Yeah, well, shit, that's right. Yeah.
That was a problem.
Bit of trouble, right?
But apparently, when you're 10 goals up in the second quarter, if you're the Swans in that situation, you're like, all right, lads, we got this in the bag.
Yeah.
We just need to keep this around about. And that's what they did. They let them know that they weren't going to be able to get back in the game. I don't think they kicked consecutive goals in the whole match, to be honest.
And towards the end, like you say, Swans without any injury worries. Well, Buddy had a little knock. And it was funny. They, you know, put him on the exercise bike at quarter time and all that kind of stuff. And in the last quarter, they went, mate, on the bench.
Yeah.
You don't need to do nothing. And they're like, oh, will he play, you know, next week? I'm like, it's Buddy. He's playing. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I've never known somebody to be more injury resistant than Buddy.
I can't really think of the last time he had a stint on the sidelines for an injury, like a serious injury.
I remember the finals in 2011. Like, he did his knee. Mm. And you're like, oh, shit. I thought, not only is he done for the finals, he's done for next year. Come out 2 weeks later and nearly kicked the winner against Collingwood in the prelim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the lad just doesn't get injured. He's amazing. He'll play this week. Don't worry about that.
Oh, never any doubt. Precautionary thing. If you're John Longmire, you're doing the same thing. Like, you've got the game well in hand.
He's sitting on the fucking bench. Yeah. Fucking oath he is.
I think Longmire was putting on a Guernsey at one stage. He's like, fuck it, I'll run out there.
Yeah, I'll save some time. Yeah, save some players. You know, Hannes, off you come, mate. Records. I got this one. I'll go out there.
He's probably one of the... actually, no, plenty of the coaches are in fight and fit form, but... yeah, I'm trying to think. Who'd be the most recently? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'll back Solly.
he could have improved the list.
So Essendon is still going to consider this a win for their season.
They made finals.
They made finals, and from coming, you know, from last year's shenanigans.
It's a bit bittersweet though when they make finals on behalf of Collingwood winning.
Yeah,
but I don't think they care.
Yeah, no. And I mean, yeah, the first one by a pumping, so you can't be too upset. I think they couldn't have thought that they were going to progress too far in the finals.
Well, they thought they might disrupt, you know. Yeah. Turns out they didn't, you know.
So is Job done? He's definitely done.
Job's retired. Yep. Kelly retired off this one, and Brent Stanton.
Stanton? Oh, fuck.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He was a workhorse. He was all right. He was a whipping boy for half his career, and then he came good.
He was, yeah.
But they'll go off to the sunset.
Well, who takes that spot then?
What spot?
Whipping boy. Well, no Stanton, no Joe.
I'm sure they'll find somebody.
Yeah.
They got Lewenberger.
They've got a few contenders there, let's be honest.
Yeah.
McKernan. It'll be him.
I reckon he might go. I don't know if they've done their list yet. He was on the rookie list, I think, or category B or whatever they bloody call it.
Top up.
Basically, another top up of their top ups. The Dons are done for the year.
See, a lot of people are talking up that as the start of a new era that Essendon are going to really launch now. I don't honestly see it.
I think they've got some good players there.
I think they've got some good players, but I think there's probably around seven or eight teams that are in the same sort of, you know, trying to force a premiership window open in the next couple of years.
Well, you never know. I mean, they've got some space now, and they've been thrown around as candidates for getting some new players in. You never know. They've got some like Zach Merritt's still young and Tippin Woody's still growing into AFL football. Danaher's only going to get better. He had a breakout year.
Yeah. They paid off their lawsuits.
Their consistency.
I think they've tied a knot in all of that for now. So, yeah, you never know. I think they'd expect to improve next year. I don't know if they will or not, but you know, once you have a look at their list, maybe they will.
Yeah, and it's still pretty close fight for that, 7 to 14 spots. So yeah,
who knows?
Yeah,
depending on the draw, I don't think they'll make finals next year. But we'll go through that in the
early call.
Yeah, early call.
So anyway, I love finals footy because it is cutthroat and it's what you wait for all year and it's exciting. People were saying it was a bit of a letdown after the first three games because, six goals was the closest margin and that was flattering to GWS. So excited for a game on Saturday night. And what a game it was. It was scrappy. Let's not pretend it was highly skilled.
Most finals games are pretty damn scrappy.
They tend to come down a little bit in the scoring stakes and, the high pressure and tackling wins finals and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But fuck me. After the siren in extra time.
Yeah.
Obviously, never happened before. Who knows if it'll ever happen again. But fucking hell.
And that free kick.
Well, we may as well start there.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be what this match is remembered for. Not the dozens of other scoring shots and potential scoring
Everything
shots.
Everything else that happened.
Yeah. It'll come down to the touch goal. The touch goal.
Goals.
Goals, yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I thought it was a free kick. And even if you say, he shrugged, it's play on. When they fell to the ground, he gave him a forearm across the face anyway.
Yeah.
So if the first one's not, the second one is.
Yeah, I thought it was a free kick. I mean, it's hard to know. The shrug, when you put it in slow motion, it's different to how it looks in fast motion. So I feel like the shrug was kind of there, but it's a little bit instinctual when you grab someone around the shoulders. Also, you could actually pull the arm up by grabbing around the shoulders. So I think that the slow motion doesn't really do a justification. I think you have to protect that person's head. When he wasn't ducking, wasn't dropping his knees, I feel like that's the right call in the true spirit of that rule.
And how many of those have we seen call high tackle throughout the year?
Yeah.
Like 15 a weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that I saw in the first quarter, which didn't get spoken about at all, I can't remember the player's name, but someone got tackled to the ground and a Geelong player picked up the ball, went to run off, and the person raised their... not Geelong.
Port?
Port? No. West Coast. All went right. to run off and... Port Power player lifted his boot up and kicked him in the stomach when he was running past. Yeah. And no one said anything. It was no free kick. It was just, way you go. I was like, hang on a second. That's incredibly dangerous. You can't do that shit. And never heard anything about it. So I was surprised that never got talked about post-match.
It was a clear sheet for the MRP all weekend.
Yeah.
There was a trip in one of the games too, but I can't remember who it was. But obviously he didn't get sighted, so it does matter.
Yeah. So I thought the free kick was definitely there. I loved how Shuey had a little giggle to himself when he's going to take the kick.
It did seem like he was I can't believe that fucking worked.
I saw it more as
shit, here we go.
After the siren, I'm going to kick this, eh? Yep. Everyone's on me. And he kicked it and he went straight. He goes, yep.
Yeah, it's a win or lose scenario. There's no point in it's a draw. You have to...
This is it, champ.
Sink or swim.
Yep. And beautiful kick too.
Yeah.
Flush, straight down the middle. As soon as it was off the boot, you knew exactly where it was going. Yeah. Perfect. And I've always said, unless Hawthorn's playing, if somebody's having a shot after the siren to win the game, I always want them to kick it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
That's the story.
Yeah. And you just felt like they're almost going to lose it there in the last when Port started getting their nose ahead?
I felt like, besides the first quarter, Port dominated the game.
Yeah.
And when it came to the first quarter, obviously West Coast got out to a nice early lead. Yeah. It was on the back of just contested marks.
Yeah, and it was just them implementing their game plan and sort of imposing their will on Port, who came out looking a bit sluggish and not intimidated, but just not in time with the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
They were a little bit off, but they rectified that and pulled it back to being close again. And just the unsung heroes of West Coast team as well, like Drew Petrie taking big moment grabs, presenting himself.
99% of the night, his hands were perfect.
Yeah, but also
they've gotten value out of him for sure.
100% they have.
But also, Westhoff doing good things in the back line for Port was also very handy for them, keeping them in that first quarter.
Charlie Dixon, the best worst player on the ground.
Yeah,
Because he was, as far as I'm concerned, Port Adelaide's best player, yet he should have won the game for him.
Yeah, 3-6 he kicked.
Well, this has happened for the last decade for Port Adelaide. They've had top-notch full forwards who, in finals, sprayed everywhere. Schultz was another one.
Yeah,
He was probably cost them a flag back in, what year was it?
14?
Yeah, 2014.
when they lost the prelim. Yep. That's the other thing I like about this game is it's such a heartbreaker that Port will now stop talking about the 2014 prelim. Oh, we fucking robbed that. Oh, we should have got... Like, yeah, you didn't. 3 years ago, you have had a preliminary final loss hangover.
Yeah.
Now you've got something else to talk about because this was far more heartbreaking.
Just a fresh wound.
Put it between the big sticks and make it hard of the opposition.
Or I tell you what, Chad Wingard, you know what? When you're up by 3 points when there's 40 seconds left...
Yep.
And Boak, captain as well, played on from a free kick in the middle of the ground.
Yeah.
Why?
Why would you do that?
And then Chad Wingard twice kicks it to McGovern.
It's just no composure. And you feel like they're your leaders and they should know what's going on. And Paul implemented that sort of little signaling from the bench about how long's left in the game. So
yeah,
they should
somebody
know.
Run out. Mate, just ice it.
It's like a 14-year-old seeing a tit for the first time. It's like, fuck, there it is! Yeah. Let's go!
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, all they needed one kick to hit a target and the game's over.
And that's it. Yeah.
And just the one kick.
But that's why we love finals footy. It's that sheer bulk load of pressure that gets put on players. And let's be honest, some AFL players may not be the brightest people. So when they're under pressure, they make even worse decisions than normal.
I'm going to say, geez, you need some proof for that. Oh, yeah, okay, yep, there's plenty of proof. Yeah, yeah, everywhere. Yeah.
Actually, speaking of dumb players, I did hear that Hawthorn are already trying to offload Vickery.
Yep. I think we're looking deep into his contract. See what out clauses there are. He played a preliminary final in the VFL this weekend and he suspended. The only problem was there was a clerical error.
That's right.
He came out, he was meant to get 2 games. And they said, no, actually, it's only one. Hawthorn went, shit.
Hawthorn sent Jake King in there and went, actually.
I remember when he was picked up, though, because everyone's like, well, fuck, he's a spud now, but what if he goes right? What if he comes good?
Could he?
Could Hawthorn do it? Fuck, they could do it and be monsters again. And then it was like, oh, no, he's Vickery.
See, that's the thing. You've got to remember, like, the Hawthorn recruiting gets a lot of credit, you know, especially in draft times, because the way they planned and orchestrated, you know, the Franklin Roughhead plus, you know, getting the Trent Crowe for the number one pick. They got Hodge and Mitchell. Yep. These are the same recruiters that also got Zach Dawson. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Right? There are misses.
But they also got rid of him.
Eventually.
And got something for it.
Yeah.
I don't think they got much for him.
They got enough.
They got, nothing, which was enough. But anyway, I got to admit, I enjoyed this. The West Coast winning it in Adelaide. If it was in Perth, I would have been hoping he missed.
Yep.
Even though I said I always want the guy afterwards, but just the sheer anguish from the Port fans. And then Koshy's come out and started eating his ass.
What a wanker.
What a dickhead.
What is he thinking?
Okay. Thinks he's Jeff Kennett.
Well, Jeff Kennett would never bag the players when he was president like that.
Yeah.
Eddie McGuire would back them in 100% as well. Yeah. They would never do that.
And plus, Koshy's never pulled on the boots.
Oh, fucking shut your mouth.
No,
But it's hard because he is in the media, so he has to do these kind of things.
Yeah, and he's the reason people hate Port Adelaide for dickhead comments like that.
Well, he certainly added to it. I thought Hinkley after the match, his press conference was perfect. That's exactly what he should have been. Measured. He goes, it hurts, but we'll learn. We'll come back.
Well, in fairness, I'm not going to go to Ken Hinkley for share tips, and I'm probably not going to go to Koshy for tips on footy.
All for memorable quotes.
There you are. and I've got to say, you know, with the controversy around the free kick, I didn't see much of it from Port fans. I mean, I'm sure that if you go looking for it on Twitter...
Oh, no, but there's plenty.
I'm sure that...
Just stay on Facebook.
Yeah, most that I saw went, we fucking lost that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and they were gutted.
Yep.
But anyway, there's always outrage, isn't there?
Yeah, I did see a lot of Vic bias, which didn't make much sense. But...
that's just what you do, isn't it?
Well, look, you've got plenty of time to think about it.
But look, your own state hates you, so you can't claim big bias.
And then there was somebody that put out that a few of the Port Adelaide players went out for a beer on Saturday night, and they went, "God, guys, you should be hurting." I'm like, "Nah, mate, go have a fucking drink after that." A couple.
And what sort of people are of the opinion that when you're hurting, you don't get completely hammered?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck yeah.
Essentially, you've just been fired, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, your job's finished.
Like Alan Jones said, not the shit Alan Jones, the racing driver. He said, there are two reasons to drink. One's to celebrate and one's to commiserate.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, it was...
Hydrate.
They'll be talking about this game for years to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would be funny when they miss in the finals next year. Another one!
It's interesting because West Coast, can they still win next week now?
Yeah.
But if Shuey does not get a kick, it doesn't matter.
Like, yeah.
He can go home. He's never going to pay for a drink for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and this lays the plans out for, you know, big rivalries. So these are mid-season sellouts, you know what I mean?
Well, I think West Coast are undefeated at Adelaide Oval. Or undefeated against Port at Adelaide Oval. Something like that. Their record there is unbelievably good.
Yeah.
Anyway, just adds another chapter to the story.
How do they do with the SCG? Are they playing Sydney next week? Or they got?
They are in Sydney, but not at the SCG.
All right.
So anyway, we will go on to the semi-finals then.
They're at Spo.
Start off with the Cats are playing Sydney at the MCG on Friday night. I think this is going to be one of the rare times where the sixth place team is favourite over the second place team.
Oh shit! Yeah. If you're getting better odds than $1.10, take it, because Sydney they'll destroy them.
And they've handled Geelong on more than one occasion.
Full strength Geelong too.
Yeah, in down at Cadinia usually, but I think they knocked out Geelong in the prelim last year at the MCG as well.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So it could be deja vu all over again.
And just hoping that it's a really hard fought battle, lots of injuries. I feel like Geelong going to have to always be a little embarrassed in their performance, especially getting dominated in that first quarter in the contested ball, contested marks. They're going to want to come out and prove a point with being hard at it.
Especially Dangerfield and Selwood.
Yeah, and Sydney, their Mitchell don't take a backward step. So I feel like, this is going to be a very huge war of attrition.
You just want the niggles.
I want reports, I want everything.
Looking at it, though, you'd think Sydney's midfield and forward line, at the very least, is the equivalent of Richmond, if not superior.
Yeah.
And
I think we can say they're slightly just tidy.
A bit ahead.
And form getting behind them as well.
Yeah. So if Richmond were able to give Geelong that much trouble, I can't see how Sydney would give them any less. And plus, with the injuries that Geelong have managed to accumulate, it could be a smashing.
Well, on paper, Geelong match up well against Sydney. Yeah. I mean, they've got tall backmen because...
A fresh Menzel.
It was the talls that killed Essendon
last
week with Sydney. They've got tall backmen, coming out of their ass. And Lonergan always plays well on Buddy, but he might move off him now and, Henderson maybe. Dangerfield and Selwood versus that Sydney midfield, you go, you know what, they've got the two best midfielders out there.
But
maybe.
Is Selwood the way he's supposed to... Is he good?
Well, he was okay last week, but it is his second week.
It seems like he's carrying something.
Well, he come back from an ankle injury.
It's called a team. He might have exsanguination or something. The amount of blood he loses every damn match.
He could be.
Makes Ric Flair look underweight.
And this is on the Saturday, isn't it?
Friday night.
Yeah. So 80% chance of rain. So it's going to be a repeat of that same super conditions from the Tigers game. You'll think that they're going to sort of try and emulate that Tiger strategy of having small people, small team, and just a key big man across each line to put the ball to ground and see how they go. Because Sydney will definitely have the advantage in that area. So I think this is going to be, you're going to have to be sort of counter-attacking game from both Sydney and Geelong. I don't feel like this is going to be out and attack. I think it's going to be pretty messy and very controlled game as they're both known to play.
I think Sydney's going to shut down the disposal. I don't think they're going to have clean possession all day.
I think you almost give Dangerfield 30 possessions and see if you can shut down everyone around him.
Does Sydney go the anti-tag? Stay away from Motlop? Just make sure he gets the ball?
Just some positive reinforcement, I think.
Like I said, you could legitimately send his player over to Danger. Don't worry about that. He's not going to.
So does that player then get credit for shutting down Danger as well as what Motlop does?
Double, yep. Yeah.
It's a bit cheeky when you start passing to him, though.
It's when you cheer him off that they really get cheeky.
Swap Guernseys. No, mate, you can keep yours. Just have mine. So, I mean, like you said, there's tradition to write off the team that lost the qualifying final. But I think we're all doing it. We're all picking Sydney.
Oh, fuck yeah. And by a lot.
And I also think that makes the prelim next week, Adelaide-Sydney, just makes it off.
That's the grand final.
What a game over in Adelaide, too.
Yeah, it's more injuries and stuff.
The only shame is Sydney lost in the NEIFL grand final and Tippett had a shocker, so he's not coming in. Because it would have been great to have Adelaide-Sydney in Adelaide Oval with Tippett running out there. But anyway.
It would have been funny because Adelaide supporters go, oh yeah, we don't like him, do we? Forgot about that one.
And then Saturday night, we've got GWS and West Coast. With the GWS injuries, you got to say West Coast are a chance.
West Coast have a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Well, Nick Nat's still injured.
Yeah, he's
available.
You wouldn't bring him back this round, surely not.
So you got to think about it. Mumford's not there.
Mumford's not there as well.
I don't know if that makes it more or less likely to play him.
I think more.
Yeah, I think more because you can give him a rest easier without having him to be accountable for Mumford.
Having said that, though, Petrie was eminently serviceable.
You can't drop him.
Yep, definitely.
You can't drop Petrie.
Yep.
For a bloke who's got 300 games behind him, he can obviously handle the pressure.
I've got a feeling he'll obviously play this week, Petrie. I've got a feeling he goes ahead of Lee Matthews on the games record this week. And I think that Sam Mitchell is three games behind Petrie, so gets close.
Bit of a race, yeah.
But yeah, I think that's nothing to be sniffed at.
Yeah. I think that puts him as second at North Melbourne, only by 115 odd games.
I don't think these last couple of games count for North Melbourne, though. But anyway, GWS have got to play better than they did last week. I mean, in the sense that it's impossible that they could play that disjointed.
Yeah.
Having said that, West Coast, they would have spent a lot of their petrol tickets in Adelaide. It's hard to get up again after that kind of game.
And West Coast just seemed to find that little bit of momentum at this time of season. You know, remember last year, at the end of the season, they put that little run together.
Yeah.
At some point, they come good in the season.
Bulldogs.
At some point, they put a little string of form together in the season. And I feel like this could be it. It could be their chance to really get ahead and no pressure on them. You know, they've won away from home in Port Adelaide or Adelaide. And you know, it's the same sort of setup here, same environment. So it's going to be very familiar to them.
The same environment, but about a third the size of the crowd.
So I feel like they've got the momentum behind them. On paper, I don't think they should win, but I feel like all the other things are in their favour. So I'm actually backing West Coast to get ahead in this one in a very close game.
I am too, just because without Cameron and Caniglia, looks like he's injured too.
Smith, Mumford.
And then, you know, even Griffin's not there still, but Bunteen as well. But I just don't think they can have the depth to recover from that. And I think especially Mumford, they don't have a backup for him that works.
Yeah, Lob isn't the same.
I
think that West Coast rucks aren't that strong. Like, if Nick Nat does come back, it's his first game in a year.
Yeah,
it's going to take him a while to get back to the pace of it.
Yep.
I don't know. I think GWS are just going to pull one out. I do think that West Coast have climbed their mountain.
Yep.
But you know, said the same thing about Bulldogs last year, and they went on. I just can't see GWS playing that badly again. Their midfield is too fast. West Coast is slow. I mean, they've got Prittis and Mitchell in there, who are great players, but they're not speedsters.
Whoever wins this match, I can't see going any further. So is it time to tank for draft picks?
It's a bit rough. I mean, GWS don't need to. They got academy picks, they're laughing. But if you're saying whoever wins this doesn't go any further, that puts Tigers in the grand final.
And it does.
Yep, so just need a big, brutal run for the other teams on the other side of the bracket. And I think there's going to Bradbury at the Tigers.
Well, I'm going to say if they don't, there's a chance that West Coast make the grand final from eighth.
But anyway.
Yeah, I think the Tigers, the grand final is eminently gettable, which should make the hype train even bigger.
I do like, you know, there's been talks, you know, we've got to keep the lid on it, you know, once we've made it, finished third on the ladder. Now they've won a prelim. Like, fuck it, nobody can. It's not worth trying. Don't bother.
Well, they're sitting...
fucking enjoy it.
They're sitting second in terms of odds. Adelaide being first.
They won, a qualifying final.
Richmond at 325.
Yeah.
325, what is Sydney?
450.
Wow, that's really good value. Wow.
That's what I mean.
Sydney are the value bet.
Yeah, are they?
West Coast, 23.
Yeah. What's Hawthorn?
501.
500. Oh, that's value. Value, I tell you.
Yeah, the funny thing is they've actually got 2018 up there as well.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
You think a betting company is going to miss an opportunity?
Get the books open early.
If somebody wants to put a dollar on it, they'll put a price up there.
What's North Melbourne at? Hawthorn's at 21. Oh, North Melbourne's right at the bottom, 81-1, equal with Gold Coast.
81.
It's good value.
It's not. That's not enough.
That's the shit value.
Not enough.
Honestly, I was expecting 100+.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, I think that'll do us for finals week one.
Yep.
It was good to be in finals. It's hard not having eight games or nine games to watch. But,
there was plenty enough action to be able to,
I did watch two games of VFL on the weekend. So.
All right.
All right, we'll catch you next week.
It's going to be a good one.
Mate,
see ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.